Now, here is a message for all those people who are sitting near a radio that's switched on. It could explode at any moment.
Look out!
Hello? Are you still there? Hello? Oh, well, for those of you who were sitting a long way away, or have only just switched on, here is another warning. In a few moments, I'm sorry, I'll read that again, we'll begin. Now, we're going to be fair. We're going to give you a chance to switch off your sets, but you'll have to be quick. Right, that's it. Those of you who haven't switched off yet, I'm afraid you've missed your chance. Don't say we didn't warn you. But for those of you who are amazingly slow-witted, we're going to give you just a few seconds more while David Hatch asks Billoddy a very simple question.
Where have you been all the day, Billy boy, Billy boy?
Where have you been all the day, my Billy boy?
Oh, I've been walking all the day with me charming Nancy.
Oh, oh.
And me Nancy kittle me fancy.
Oh,
charming Billy boy.
And as with the Angus Prune tune, we cry, take me to your Dave leader. We once again lead you up the garden path in the company of Tim Brook Dahlia, John Garden Peas, David Cabin Patch, Joe Ranium, and Sweet William. Here's your own, your very own, common or garden, mainly common, John Otto Keys.
Oh, no! Oh, I'm sorry, I'll read that again.
There is a lot of censorship in Britain.
You can't say that.
Why not?
Oh, it's not allowed.
There is very little censorship in Britain.
That's a lot better, yeah.
But there is some in the cinema, and it is often the local authorities who have to make the decisions.
Order, order, please. Now, we've all seen this film, Nude Must Be Joking. Some of us at least 14 or 15 times. Now, what we have to decide is whether anybody else should be allowed to see it. Any view?
I thought it was smashing.
Thank you, Vicar. Lady Springfield, you have two children under 12. Would you be happy for them to see this sort of film?
Well, it's not my children I'm worried about. It's my husband. I have quite enough trouble trying to keep the house clean as it is without him charging in.
Quite, yes.
I'm sure we're all missing the point. I mean, it's symbolic, isn't it? How, could we just run reel three again if it's cooled down? There we see the two hairdressers who are...
I'm not quite sure where the goat comes in.
It comes in through the door. There he is. There he is now coming through the door. And here's my favourite moment where he butts the blonde hairdresser. Now, what's wrong with that? Pure pornography. Symbolism.
Speaking of sex... Why not? My goldfish. What am I talking about? Speaking of sex, I saw a rather sensational film recently. I forget what it was called, but there are these two sailors and this girl. Lovely girls you are. Well, you see, she invited them up to her flat. Very slowly, she proceeded to undress. First her shoes, her stocking.
What happened then?
I don't know. I fell asleep. Fast asleep.
Thank you, Colonel. That was all very helpful. Perhaps we should return to the film we're meant to be discussing, Nude Must Be Joking. Should we make any cuts?
No,
what about that scene where the three nuns beat up the policeman?
Marvellous.
Fabulous camera angles.
Yeah.
But don't you think it might incite people to attack policemen?
No, only nuns.
Oh, that's all right.
So, we're all happy for this film to be shown uncut and to anybody.
Oh, no. It shouldn't be cut. It shouldn't be shown to anybody.
So, we're agreed it's not suitable unless there are separate showings for men and for women. And for nuns and goats. Good. Well, that's obviously impractical, so let's say nobody should see this disgusting, depraving, and distasteful film. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. Any other business?
Could we just...
Of course. Can we run it again, Sydney?
Mr. Broomstalker, the dentist will see you now.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. What was that?
Ah, that frightened you, didn't it?
I do bird impressions, too, you know.
What? Yes, very good, Doctor.
Don't call me Doctor. Killer Mortem will do. Right.
Yes.
Well, there, take all your clothes off and crouch over there.
That's not necessary.
Spoil sport. Hey, now, sit down here. Nurse, you take your clothes off.
Where are?
There they are. on, then. What have you come about?
My teeth.
Oh, no, not another. Why do people always come to me about their teeth?
Well, you are a dentist.
Even dentists are human, you know. We get bored. I'm bored with teeth. People come in here every day asking me to look at their silly mouths. What do I do? What do I see? Ruddy teeth. I wouldn't mind if they were nice teeth, but they're always dirty, broken, full of holes, disgusting teeth. You haven't got any dirty photos, have you?
No,
no. If people had dirty photos in their mouths, I wouldn't mind being a dentist. Nurse, get in his mouth.
No! Please, do my teeth.
I can do a broken arm.
I haven't got a broken arm.
Yes, you have. Man, that'll teach you to bore me. Now, let's play cribbage.
No, please, teeth, teeth.
Oh, all right, teeth it is. Tell you what, you take mine out.
No.
Why not? You're scared, aren't you?
No, no.
I shan't bite you. Go on, have a look at these.
No.
Scaredy pots, cowardy, cowardy, custard. Go on, put your hand in there.
No.
You're scared, I shall bite you. Here, feel this one.
No, all right. No!
I bit you. First round to me.
Please, please, do my teeth.
Oh, very well. Put your head back.
I hadn't taken it off.
That's not funny.
No.
Tell me if this hurts.
Oh, yes.
I thought so. My new knuckle dusters. Tell me. Now, let's have a look in here. Good Lord. They've all gone. You're absolutely toothless. Woo-hoo-hoo.
That's my ear.
Oh, yes, there it is. Can't chew much with that, can you? Well, where's your mouth, then? Ah, yes. This will have to come out. Do you want gas?
Yes, please.
Have you got a shilling?
No.
Oh, you can't have it. Yes, now what's this? Nurse, mirror, please. By Jove, I am a handsome brute. Thank you, nurse. And now, drill, please. And rinse out. Ooh. Oh, dear. Never mind, I'll just put some of this in.
What's that, cement?
No, strawberry jelly. That's very hard. One final drill. Oh, dear. I drilled your ear off.
What?
Now, how on earth did that happen? I went like this, and there goes the other one. I can't understand it. I'm usually quite accurate. I just drill and drill and...
I suppose you think that's funny.
Good. Well, we've made a bit of a mess of you, haven't we? Well, there's only one thing for us. Next, please. I've got it.
Where?
Here, look.
Oh, yes.
Mavum Pashish
Marinero, my darling.
That means my granny is walking on top.
The next part of the program is unsuitable for young children and old people. And teenagers and adults. But to everyone else, oh, may we say, how are you? And what are you? Anyway, we now present a ghost story. The magnificent 6½ in the Ghost of Objectionable Manner. Or Arabella Twig and the Man-Eating Shrimp. London, 1886. Lancashire, 78 before. It is a foggy evening in late November. Grey and wet,
well-known firm of ghost and bricklayers, are in their office cuddling by the fire.
Ooh.
Cuddling by the fire.
Huddle.
Times are hard, for they are penniless.
Have you got a penny now? Oh. Fetch the money ledger.
Money ledger.
Now, see if you can walk across the room with it on your head.
On my head, huh? Oh,
there, we can't even balance our accounts. If we don't get a client soon, we'll be ruined.
We'll be ruined.
Still, there's one hope. Tonight is a full moon.
Full moon.
And you know what that means.
Yes. Scented blossoms, soft music, a fragrant balcony, a boy and a girl, romance, the warbling of a nightingale, and a song of love.
Oh, I hate the moon is beaming. Beam, 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 it goes.
Oh, why don't we go away together?
No, isn't that a noise outside?
No, it's a horse and carriage.
Look, I recognize it. It's Lady Constance de Coverlet.
That's the horse.
No. No, inside.
Sure enough, Lady Constance took off the horse's skin and revealed herself. She went into the house and mounted the stairs.
Yippee! Giddy up, sir!
Soon she reached the office door and strode through it. Mr. Gray ran forward and gave her a chair.
Hooray!
Uncle! Oh, I expect you know what brought me here.
A horse and carriage.
Horse and carriage.
Right, now do your deal with ghosts.
We do that.
Do that.
Then I have a job for you.
A pleasure to serve you.
A pleasure to serve you.
Great honor. Anything you ask.
How much?
Shut up, Webb.
Shut up.
Sorry, madam.
All right, love. I don't know where I am. Yeah.
I have just acquired a decrepit manor.
Thought you always had it.
I want you to de-haunt it. Come down this weekend. I'm having a housewarming. Bring your own fire.
So Gray and Wet went to face a terrifying unknown. They set off with a will.
To my sister, I leave 12 miles.
Soon they were groping their way up the drive of objectionable manner. Then Gray heard a footfall.
Oh, my foot's dropped off.
At last, they saw ahead of them the crumbling old ruin. It was Grimbling, Lady Constance's old butler. He stood at the door to meet them, and they walked towards an open fire.
Open fire! What can I do for you, gentlemen?
Very little, I should think. At your age, certainly.
Lady Constance sent for us to deal with a ghost.
What's the matter?
I've just read the next joke. Ah, so you come to die.
What?
Instead of tomorrow.
Tell us, old man, do you think this place is really haunted?
Oh. I wouldn't say that, sir. Oh, otherwise the ghosts would get me.
Ghosts?
I mean vampires. I mean mice.
Mice?
Yes. With big bulging eyes and terrible fangs, with heads tucked underneath their arms. And you can hear them at night when they open their horrible jaws and they go...
Oh, anyway, you'd better show us to our rooms.
Certainly, you'll not be staying long.
Well, we don't know.
You'll not be staying long.
So Grimbling conducted them round the house.
I say, that's pretty. What are those?
Those are the maid's quarters.
Lovely.
Anyway, here we are.
Is this where we're staying?
Yes, your suite, sir.
Oh, you're rather wonderful yourself.
And so they thanked Grimbling and tipped him downstairs. That evening they dressed for dinner.
Do you like my vinegar?
Oh, yes. Is my cabbage straight?
Yes. Pass in my collies, would you?
I beg your pudding.
And at 9 o'clock, they went downstairs for a hearty meal of roast beef, little knowing what was to follow.
Jam roll and custard.
And so the meal began. Everything seemed normal enough, but Wet felt strangely nervous. However, he tried not to show it and continued calmly stuffing spring onions up his nose. No one spoke as they worked their way through the braised radishes till suddenly a hideous sound rent the air.
Beg your pardon.
Was that your stomach, Sir Vile?
Yes, things that go burp in the night.
Now, we're here to lay the ghost. Tell us what's been happening.
Very well. Call my daughter.
At that moment, the door opened, and there stood Grimbling with a vision of loveliness on his arm.
Oh, what super cufflinks.
And with him, Lady Constance's only daughter. She was beautiful, like an elf, with big, pointed ears. Wet stepped forward and bowed low. Oh. He could hardly conceal his passion. He couldn't take his eyes off her. His eyelashes were caught in her shoelace.
This is my daughter, Fiona. Tell them how it happened last Wednesday night.
Well, it wasn't much different from any other, really.
No! No, after that, dear.
No. Well, last Wednesday night, about 12 o'clock, as I was all alone in my room, by my bedside, I saw a strange man.
Did he do anything?
No.
He was a strange man.
The next night, he was there again. He looked so lonely. But I hid under the bedclothes.
Yes.
And he turned suddenly and disappeared.
Oh.
The next night...
Yes!
He was on his knees as if pleading.
Yes!
Asking.
Yes!
This time, I hid under the bedclothes.
Yes!
And he turned suddenly and disappeared.
No!
The next night...
Yes!
It happened again.
Oh,
it happened again.
Oh,
it happened again.
Oh,
he asked.
Yes!
I hide.
Yes!
He disappeared.
Oh.
And it's driving me mad.
Can't be doing him much good.
But what does he want with her?
Now, come on.
Which of you brave men is going to stay with me tonight?
Me!
Three of you. Well, in that case, I'd better sleep in Mother's room.
No.
So they all three crept upstairs to Fiona's room and sprang into bed. Soon the house fell silent. Only the wind was moaning in the chimney. As they lay there in the dark, they heard a clock strike.
Right, all out.
Quiet! The clock's striking!
Yes, it is rather lovely, isn't it?
But at that moment, Wet's heart was in his mouth. Grimling's hair stood on end to get a better view.
Look, hideous creature, look at those bulging eyes, that wild striking hair, and those two horrid sharp teeth sticking out.
I am a ghost. Well, I mean a ghost. I've come to hint you. Oh, I forgot my lines.
It's unbelievable.
How can anybody be so bad?
Oh, come on, give us a chance. Be frightened.
No, look, we're here to lay you.
Oh, no, I've only just started.
But you've been frightening Miss Fiona.
No, it wasn't me, it was him.
Who?
Oh, follow me. Oh.
The apparition led them down beneath the house till they came to the cellar door. Like all ghosts, he didn't bother to open it. They crept into the crypt, creeped forward, and there in the shadows... they saw a crabbed old figure crouching over a crucible.
Oh, I'm sorry. I beg your pardon. I'm so sorry.
Welcome to the home of the vampire.
What?
Vampire.
Stick it up your...
Now you are in my power.
No, this is the end of your evil. Grimbling, run upstairs and tell Fiona and Constance we've come down.
Fiona, Constance, they've come down.
Oh, well, sorry, I didn't... What is going on here?
Welcome to my den.
Henry, my husband.
Now you shall feel the kiss of the vampire.
Oh, after all these years.
Sorry, I spooked out of turn.
Oh, who is this brute?
I made him.
Oh, could you make one for me, Philip?
No, you shall all be sacrificed right here.
He's mad.
Don't say that.
Why not?
It's my line. He's mad.
Mad, am I? I'm not mad. Don't say I'm mad. Don't ever tell me I'm mad. I'm...
Seizing his opportunity, Mr. Gray leapt forward and killed the monster in the only way possible, by driving a pork chop through his heart.
Should be a steak.
At 10 and 6 a pound.
So that ends our ghost story. But if you have the feeling at this moment that something is... creeping up on you, stealthily, unawares, hardly noticeable, when you least expect it, beware. It's the
end of the show. It's time that you go. We hope we brought you laughter and joy. So until we meet you all again next week, it's goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
Curdling tinkle of the Angus Prune Tune brings to an end another edition of I'm Sorry I Read It Again, which was rotten this week. I'm sorry. Which was written this week by Tim Brooke Taylor, David Hatch, Derek Farman, and Bill Oddie. Bill Oddie wrote the songs as normal, if one can apply that word to Bill Oddie. And the rest of the music was provided and played by Gypsy Dave Lee, with arrangements by Leon Cohen. One of the three cones in the fountain. Yes, well, the amazing performers were Tim Brooke Taylor, John Cleese, David Hatch, Joe Kendall, and Bill Oddie, and the whole show was produced by Humphrey Barclay. The lad with a delicate air and the strong glue to hold it on. So that's it until next week, when once again, John Otto Cleese will shin up the microphone to say...
Oh, no! It's their wonders! Oh!
Oh, and that is true. And I will be able to, I'm sorry, I'll read that again.
You don't.
My name is...